Okay, good evening, YouTube. Welcome back to this next episode of FPL Family with me, Lee, and this is Sam. And I don't know about you, I enjoyed a little bit of a quieter Sunday today. Not quite that. Sundays lately have been like full-on Premier League Super Sundays. I didn't mind a little bit of Brentford Forest today. It was just a little bit calmer, wasn't it? Particularly after what we went through on Saturday. So quite nice to have a calmer Sunday, no? Or you like the... You like the sort of raw emotion of the Super Sundays?
I don't know, I didn't feel calm today. I ran around like a lunatic trying to get everyone to all these various different things. So it was probably a good thing there was a good football match on to me.
Yeah, not too much Premier League action going on today, but plenty of action going on this weekend. Loads of FPL action. And we need to get this out of the way early doors, folks. You have wildcarded, Sam. The button was pressed yesterday.
Do you remember that conversation I had with you yesterday that said, I'm not going to announce that I've wildcarded?
Oh, right, okay.
And then you decided to do that for me.
Well, I've put it as the thumbnail on the YouTube thing.
And I specifically said to you...
Were you going to reveal it on today's show or were you going to wait for some other show that you're doing later in the week?
No, I was going to wait. And I said to you, I'm going to wait and I'll put a podcast out midweek.
All right. Okay.
When I've actually done some stuff, because basically all I'm doing is catching what price rises at the minute.
So you've absolutely ruined
my plans.
Oh, okay. Oh, sorry about that. But you have sent me a wildcard draft so we can talk through it and we can talk through some of the players that you're taking out. We can talk through some of the players that you're thinking of putting in. Loads to discuss today, guys, in terms of the games and what happened. Of course, we're going to be trying to pick through the bones of the FPL Family Derby, what happened at Spurs yesterday. Good win for Spurs. Interesting game. We'll try and talk through some of that. We'll talk about our ranks, scores, all that sort of stuff, Sam. All that sort of stuff. But we're going to talk and say hello to a few people first. Nigel the Crab is in, of course, here. Simon, nice to see you. Great to see you in this evening. Jason Lundy is here. Jason, nice to see you, mate. How are you? We've got Paul Cook in the live chat. Paul, nice to see you in here again tonight, mate. Matthew Knights, who is here every week. He's here every week, Matthew Knights. Very nice to see you. Who else we got? FPL Scoped is here. He says, Sam and Az don't argue like this. Yeah, you told me you hit the wild card. I'm announcing it. It's happening.
Listens to what I tell him.
Richard Lohman is here. He says, Reds absolutely robbed. Yeah, we're going to talk about that a bit later on. Steve Tyler, good evening, Lee and Sam. How are you doing? Come on, Southend. He says, that's an interesting one. I haven't had a Southend fan in here before. But listen, you are all welcome. You're all welcome. Southend fans as well. Webby's in. Evening, fam. He says, hey, Webby. How are we doing, mate? B is here. Hey, B. Hey, how are we doing? She says, hi, coys. Sorry, Lee, in brackets. Sorry, Lee. Don't be sorry. Don't be sorry. It is a good win for Spurs. A very good win. Gareth Robinson is here. I've pulled the trigger and I regret it already. Nice. Gareth, playing the wild card. Already got a little bit of wild card regret. Not even... One
Why?
Day,
there's
even
get this.
There's game week 7 games left to go, guys, and you're regretting pulling the trigger. I love this. Adam Stevo is in. Evening, Bonfield. It's a good weekend, says Adam, because Chelsea haven't played to ruin his weekend. So it looks like Adam is a Chelsea fan.
Could ruin your Monday, though.
That fun to come, Adam. I'm afraid that fun is to come tomorrow night. Of course, guys, we've still got the Chelsea game against. Fulham. Remind me, Fulham. Oh goodness me, that's a difficult game for them, isn't it?
At
Fulham tomorrow night, which is going to be a cracker, I think. Chelsea and Pochettino already under a bit of pressure, as we've mentioned here before a few times. And then, of course, we've got the second Luton versus Burnley game. So the other half of the Luton and Burnley double game week is happening on Tuesday, I believe, if I've got that right. So well done if you bought in Carlton Morris. He's already got on the score sheet. I noticed actually that he was in XG overachievers. So a goal out of an XG of 0.27. So he's done all right so far. He's done all right. And he's got that game to go at home to Burnley. And I don't know what to make of Everton. I thought they turned a corner, but clearly not. Clearly not. Luton with their first win of the season. Well done to the Hatters.
At the relegation zone.
Well done to the Hatters. That was a big result for them. Huge result for them. And goodness knows what's going on with the Toffees. Like I say, I thought a couple of decent victories, decent performances meant that they turned a bit of a corner, but clearly not. Clearly not. Daniel H is in. He says Sterling hat-trick incoming. And then puts a sort of weird rolling around laughing emoji. So I don't think Daniel really believes in his statement there. I think he's just put some words in the chat and winding up the Chelsea fans. Probably.
Just a statement.
Just a statement, isn't it? Daniel Banks, he says, are Luton not terrible?
Or are Everton terrible?
Or are Everton terrible? That's the more relevant question, Daniel. I think you need to ask yourself. John Tyner, hey guys, 76 with Anderson, 15-pointer. Second on his bench.
Oh, don't talk to me about benches. Don't talk to me about benches because bench. The benches. Oh my god!
Wow, John Tyner with Anderson's 15-pointer, second on his bench.
It's all right. It could be worse. You could have a -2 second on your bench. That's coming off the bench.
Yeah. We've got to talk about Purvis Estupiñán and his -2 pointer. There will be. Get in the chat, guys, or leave us a comment on the video if you had Estupiñán bench, Botman first 11. Because if you didn't, if you had, you had that, didn't you? Botman failing the late fitness test, which was just so unlucky, only to be replaced in a lot of people's teams by Estupiñán's -2, which was crazy. And all of a sudden, Sam, all of a sudden, Brighton are a team that we might just start to look at in terms of our offensive FPL assets playing against, because they seem to be conceding quite a lot of goals. The Moises Caicedo factor has finally kicked in, and they seem to be conceding.
When's that going to kick in at Chelsea, though?
I don't what, for the positive?
Yeah.
Don't know. Not sure it's going to. When he's fit and ready to play, I suspect. Emu Show is in. He says, Mbeumo ruined the game week. Yeah, ruined today more than you ruined Sam's plans. I bought him in my wild card. I thought I'd give him these two games and I already want rid of Mbeumo, but I'll talk about him a bit later on. I'm glad that I held the transfer. What I was going to do for game week 7 was Mbeumo to James Ward-Prowse.
Right.
And I didn't. And I haven't seen the highlights of the Brentford game yet, but nothing that I've seen on Twitter or anywhere else has suggested that they were any good. Whereas West Ham were pretty good and Ward-Prowse was pretty good as well, by all accounts. He's creating chances left, right and centre. But low XA chances, right? Set piece chances, corner chances. He's not creating a lot of big chances.
And remember
something
that we are past talk about that the bit game later against on. The X, you know, the set piece terribleness.
Yeah, and
is
had
past
I,
now.
And this is it. So the next couple of fixtures for West Ham do look a little bit trickier potentially than that Sheffield United
Newcastle
game.
Newcastle next, right? I think
it is Newcastle next, and that's a game where you might not want as much JWP or Bowen in your life. But for sure, their fixtures after the next two look good, so still on radar. Super chat from Si. Thank you, Si, for the super chat. Hey, Bonfields. Hey, Nigel the Crab. How are you, mate? Safe to say, James Ward-Prowse triple. Did he triple captain James Ward-Prowse?
Oh, God. Si.
Simon, did you triple captain James Ward-Prowse? Maybe I'll retire from this game. Oh, no. Listen, don't start putting statements like that around because we'll miss you here on a Sunday night.
Si.
Unless you want to stop playing and still be here. I mean, you can do that if you want.
Si, how many hits did you take?
By the way, the earlier reference to Southend is because Southend look to be about to go under. Oh, I'd missed that. Oh, well, that would be a shame, wouldn't it? They're not too far from us here in Southend, are they? So that would be a shame to see them go under. But JWP triple captain. Not sure about that one. Tough one to take.
Just poke myself in the eye.
Tough one to take, that one, Simon. Right, Sam, let's get into some of these games. But before we do, I need to say a massive thank you to all of you that have joined us tonight. All of you, because I'm pretty sure all of you will have voted for us in the FCA. So a couple of weeks ago, we were trying to get onto the finalists list for the 2023 FCA's Football Content Awards. And we're there. We are in the FPL family. We're on the video, best in video, best in fantasy football video category. And we have a little night out coming out at Anfield because the award ceremony is at Anfield. So I'm so buzzing to be there. Absolutely buzzing. So guys, thank you very much for getting us to Anfield. Listen, we'd love for you now to go and vote for us to win, wouldn't we? That'd be wonderful. And if you could go to the link there, the links are in the description below. Head over to footballcontentawards.com/voting for us now to win in Best in Fantasy Football Video. Now, listen, we're up against some proper good live streamers, some proper good YouTube content creators. So, listen, if any of you guys want to vote for any of them over us, it's absolutely fine. Because I'm like, listen, I will watch Raptor religiously and I will watch Harry religiously. And I love watching Black Box and what those guys do there. FPL Juice and there's so much good video content creation out there. It is a very, very difficult category. So we are just so happy to be there, guys. Honestly, it's going to be great to be around all of those brilliant FPL content creators. And we should also say thank you to anybody that voted for Fantasy Football Scout in Best in Editorial. So
and Fantasy Football Community is up as well.
And Fantasy Football Community is up there in Best in Editorial as well, which is brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. And Furthermore, what is more? We're not even stopping there. The official Fantasy League podcast with yourself and Jules and Kelly is up for best podcast as well, which again is going to be a very, very difficult category to win, but you've got every chance, right? So the question...
Please vote for us.
The question everyone's going to be asking, Sam, is who will you be at the FCA's representing? Are you there as FPL family? Are you there as Fantasy Football Scout? Or are you there representing the official FPL pod? What is it? I mean...
Well, and I'm editor of Fantasy Football Community, remember, as well.
Oh, geez. Right, okay. So which of those
all
are...
four. So basically, it would be really nice, guys, if you could go and vote for Scout or Fantasy Football Community in editorial. If you could go and vote for the official FPL pod in podcast. And if you could vote for us, because... If I could win one of them, I'll be delighted.
Just vote for Sam in everything, right? I'm just happy to be there. It's Anfield. We're having a few beers. All the content creators are there. Loving it. Great.
You've never been as... Well,
I've never been. When we got the email to say we're going and we've been voted for, I was like, that is unreal. I cannot wait
Normally
to go.
I just go on a night out with all the other guys by myself.
It's
going
to be
you.
A
it's
wicked...
Great
I'm so happy to be going, guys. Honestly, thank you so much. I have zero expectations of winning, right? There are proper YouTubers out there that are doing it. They are doing it and they're doing it really, really well. But if you'd like to see Sam get up and do four acceptance speeches...
I don't think.
That would be epic.
Would I have bought a new brilliant. Dress. I have bought a new dress.
Oh, nice. All right. Very good. Yeah. Oh, very good. Okay.
I have bought a new dress. I will not be speaking. I will... There are other more important people that will speak.
Well, who's getting up if the official FPL podcast wins something? Because Kelly's presumably not travelling. She's just... Jew with her little ones about to happen. Jules Laron.
Oh, Jules can do it.
Jules could be there. Okay, Jules Laron.
Well, if Jules is coming, I'll make him speak.
Nice. All right. Well,
if
listen,
he doesn't
guys...
come, I don't know who'll speak.
Well, listen, footballcontentawards.com/voting. Go to Best in Fantasy Football. Vote for Sam and everything. FPL Family, FPL Official Podcast, and Fantasy Football Scout or Community and Editorial. That would be
pretty
epic.
Good week last week because obviously we all got nominated in all of these categories, and then the official FPL pod. We also got nominated for a Sports Broadcaster Award, which...
The official pod?
Yeah, which is sick. Unbelievable because it's up nice. Against like all of these amazing ones from like, Sky and...
The pod has gone from strength to strength this year, isn't it? I mean, that's...
Oh,
you,
that's nice.
Any of you guys that are in the live chat, tell if you listen to the fan... If you don't listen to the official podcast, get over to Spotify or wherever you get your pods right now, look it up and follow... But any of you that do listen to it, and I'm pretty sure most of you guys are going to listen to it, let us know in the comments what you think about the, I was going to say the dynamic duo, the dynamic trio of Jules and Kelly and Sam this year, because it's epic. It is really, really good. And I'm really enjoying Off the Bench as well, which has gone from strength to strength also. So the podcast, the Scout, the Community, the FPL Family, whatever you do, just... She's bought a new dress. She's going to get some new shoes. We're going to live up. Just vote for Sam.
Am I getting new shoes as well?
Just vote for Sam in all the things, guys. Vote for Sam in all the things. We'd love for you to do
get
that.
Get my That'd hair done the day before as well.
But she's getting her hair done, guys. There's a lot of effort going into this. A lot of effort going into this. Just vote for Sam in all the things.
Have also got to go all the way to Liverpool for it.
That's not a bad thing. Going to the Theatre of Dreams. We're going to Anfield. Well, don't look so depressed. It's Anfield.
I mean, no, I'm looking forward to the night out. The Football Content Awards last year was honestly one of my favourite nights out of the whole year last year. It was so much fun. It was in a hotel in Manchester, so not in a stadium last year, but it was brilliant. And we went out afterwards. There were far too many porn star martinis drunk.
Oh,
there was too much beer drunk, especially Mr. Deputy Editor Tom Freeman. I'm looking at you. And
is he a bit of a dark horse, Tom Freeman? Are you calling him out here live on FPL Family?
I call him out regularly
Tom
about it.
Tom Freeman from FPL
There's photos
Scout.
Of him surrounded Ooh. By like 15 empty bottles of beer that night. And no, it's such a good night out. And it will actually be lovely this year because I've been for the last, 3 years now? And you've never come with me because family... Actually, the first couple of years, family were nominated, but we weren't nominated last year, so you didn't come. I went to Manchester with the Scout guys. In answer to your question, I don't know which table I'll be sitting at. I'll either be... Well, you'll be sitting with me. Either I'll be sitting...
I'll be on my own.
Either
family.
We Hi. Will be sitting on the Scout table or we'll be sitting on the pod table. But I will be asking the Football Content Awards to please put those two tables next to each other.
Of course. Very good. All right, there we go. FCAs, you know what to do. Vote for Sam in all the things. Right, let's get on to these fixtures. And I hear you, chat. I hear you. Yes, we are going to talk about that game on Saturday. But we're not going there immediately. We are going to build to that. Let's talk about... Well, where do you want to go? Where do you want to start with? I think we should go Molineux. I mean, talk about shock results. I mean, they were talking on Match Today about this being a bit of a free hit for Wolves. Mm. Well, they bloody hit, didn't they? I mean, goodness me. Talk to me about this performance from Wolves, and in particular, how Haaland only got one shot away and only 0.06 XG in this game, because I have a theory about why he performed like that.
So I have to admit, I haven't watched much of the day yet from yesterday.
Oh, okay.
Because you watched it without me this morning, because I was doing my hit, wasn't I? And then I was sorting out Evie and taking her to this birthday party. So I'm going to struggle massively to talk about this game because I haven't seen any of it.
Okay.
So you might have to leave.
Would you like me to
talk
about it?
Yeah.
All right. Well, from my perspective, Wolves were really, really good. But Craig Dawson was epic. Epic performance from... They even called him like Dawsinho or something in the post-match. It was unreal. So he basically did a man-marking job on Haaland. He was Haaland's shadow for the whole game. It didn't matter what was going on elsewhere. Craig Dawson was surgically attached to Haaland the whole game. And they did a really, really good job. The own goal, the Ruben Dias own goal...
Do you still have Dias?
No, I don't. I took him out of my wild card, didn't I? I got double Newcastle defence instead.
Yeah.
So I did take Ruben Dias out. But props to Neto, because although he's only going to get an assist for that, that assist deserved 3 bonus points on its own. The run was mazy. It was brilliant. He was beating players. I mean, how are we feeling about Neto? I mean, he's just going from strength to strength. If he was in a... Sorry, Wolves fans. If he was in a better team, he'd be in my FPL team straight away. He just has these moments playing for Wolves so far this season. I can see him getting a transfer to a bigger club because... He was phenomenal again in this game. City, not at their best. No doubt about it. Not at their best. Missing quite a few players, right? And I'm not saying he's a bad player, Oscar Bob or anybody like that. But when you're bringing on players like that, you've got Kovacic in midfield. Again, these are all good players, but they're not the KDBs. They're not... I think they're starting to miss Gundogan a little bit. I don't know.
Yes. You should not need those players. Man City should not need all of those players to beat Wolves. I'm sorry.
Yeah, they should have won this game.
They should have won the game. With the team that they had out, they are a better team than Wolves. So they should have been able to beat Wolves with the side that they had.
Yeah. And as Siddharth is saying, Rodri is a massive miss.
Well,
yeah,
he is a massive miss.
They definitely miss him. They're a different team without him. I've just got to go back to a super chat, Sam, we had from Joseph Maloney. Thank you, Joseph, for the super chat. Evening, Samily. What a weekend. Best of luck at the awards. Thank you, mate. My votes are in for you, Sam, across all the things.
Thank you.
The FPL pod is brilliant. Always tune in every week. There we go. All of you guys should all be more like Joseph. What a guy. What a legend. He's just voted for Sam in all the things.
All the things.
Can we get this hashtag going? Hashtag Sam in all the things.
No. I get really embarrassed.
We get Simon and the patrons on that.
They'll
get that going on Twitter.
Please don't, boys, please.
Hashtag vote Sam in all the things.
Stop it.
She voted with everything.
It's so embarrassing.
The FPL, the content creator, the guy hosting it, will be like, oh, and here is Sam again.
They won't know my name.
Fourth award of the evening. She's up
there's
again.
There's only 3 awards. I can't win 4. Thank you. I must admit, the pod, I work really, really hard on that. So
you do.
I am grateful that you are enjoying it.
Paul Cook is saying, yes, they do miss Rodri, but Sam is absolutely right. They should be winning this game. It was a shock. No doubt about it. You are, as we know now, because I've ruined everything, playing the wild card. City assets on the wild card. What are you saying?
Well, I had 3 going into this game.
Yes.
I had Alvarez, Foden, Haaland.
Okay.
And I said, I think on the official pod last week, that my long-term plan was to lose Foden because I didn't really want to be trebled up on Man City. And I think with the way that Alvarez is this year, he actually feels more essential than Haaland to have in FPL right
now.
Another
great direct free kick. That's been coming for a couple of weeks, isn't it? He's been on DFKs. He's been hitting posts and everything. Beautiful top corner. Beautiful top corner shot for this one. Really, really good.
I'm not going to... I think Alvarez is a lock, really, even on wildcard. I can't see me losing him. Haaland's interesting because Because I'd actually really quite like to sell him. But I just know that I'll instantly regret it. And the problem is when you do something like that on a wild card and you act in a way that's rash.
You ain't selling Haaland on your wild card.
Well, that's the problem.
You're not doing it.
I look at it and I go, I'd really like to. I did what I did in pre-season. I built a draft that didn't have him and I was like, really like that. Really like that a lot. But we are where we are with it. With that ownership and with the team that he plays for, it basically means you've got to decide on 14 spots because you have to have him.
Yeah.
So even though I'm not hugely in love with what Haaland's doing at the moment.
Well, let's have a look at the
FPL
City,
perspective, because I actually think he's been playing really well.
Yeah.
Just from an FPL perspective, hasn't been as quite as good as I would maybe want him to be for 14 million.
Well, what was interesting in this game was that I'm looking at that and I'm thinking, well, Craig Dawson, yeah, really nice defender. I'm seeing some of the live chat talking about, you know, should be Ballon Dawson. Love that. But, you know, there are better centre-halves in the league. And Wolves, have Wolves figured something out here? You know, if they literally just said, right, your job today, Dawson, is to mark Haaland. That is it.
Don't
forget about everything
else.
Just mark Haaland. And they nullified the threat. They beat City. I mean, is there something in that? Is there a blueprint there
maybe
that other teams can follow?
Well,
I don't know.
Yeah, but the thing... So maybe, but Arsenal won't do that.
Well, true. And if you look at the fixtures, yes, it is Arsenal up next. Then it's Brighton at home.
They
which
also
is
won't do that.
Starting to look like a decent game, the way the amount of XGC that Brighton are conceding. United away in
they
the Manchester derby, the way they're playing at the minute, that might not be a game that that United will want to see. Bournemouth at home.
They might try. If they watch Wolves...
Maybe.
Because they're realistically...
Maybe.
They
but
might...
it's Etihad, though.
Yeah. They might try it. They might try and nullify him.
Yeah. But... And then it's Chelsea away. So my point here is that you've got City, as you can see on the fixture ticker here, guys, from the Fantasy Football Scout website, second bottom. So those fixtures, Arsenal, Brighton, Man U, Bournemouth, Chelsea, second bottom. But I would argue that, yes, of course, going away to the Emirates against Arsenal is a difficult game. But then Brighton, Man U, Bournemouth, Chelsea looks all right, doesn't it? There's goals there. I wouldn't be taking Haaland out. And I definitely wouldn't be taking Alvarez out either.
Well, that's the point, isn't it? So I think I look at it and I think I'd like to have that 14 million to spend somewhere else. But the reality is I have to spend it on Haaland. Alvarez, then you kind of look at and you go, all right, well, could I free up that position? Could I move to somebody else? You know, it's I think he's gone up to 7 million now. It's a, you know, reasonable amount of money that you could spend elsewhere. You know, it gets you a bit way towards the likes of Darwin, or it gets you nearly towards Ollie Watkins, although he's at 8 now. But, you know, it's getting you in the right direction for these other players that are performing well. But the reality is, Alvarez is what is great about City at the moment. When City play well, Alvarez is playing well. Last year it was Haaland. When City's playing well, Haaland's playing well. This year it's Alvarez. And so unless something horrendous happens in midweek when they're playing Champions League football, an injury to one or the other of them, those two basically feel like essential picks that you have to have right now.
Any defenders sort of catching your eye on City? No.
I don't trust them to keep clean sheets. They are, and it was the same last season, they do tend to just leak one every now and then. And this season we aren't seeing the explosive or consistent attacking returns from the defenders at Man City. You know, Kyle Walker's probably the most consistent so far this season. And even then, he's not that consistent. So, yeah, for me, I'm not looking at the defence. Right. I think there's better options elsewhere, including in goal, actually. Right.
Well, listen, let's move on and let's talk about a player that you mentioned there a second ago. Aston Villa 6, Brighton 1.
Did you see this coming?
Not six.
I thought it would be a closer game than this.
I could see it.
Hello, cat.
Here's the cat.
It's so hot in this room. I had to open the door and now the cat's coming.
The cat's in. What did you think of Aston Villa 6, Brighton 1, Harry? Go on. Tell us.
How was it? Should we buy Ollie Watkins in our fantasy team?
That's a yes. That sounds like a yes to me. Yeah. The cat says, get Ollie Watkins. Therefore, you should all be wildcarding for Watkins. Villa 6, Brighton 1. Did I see it coming? Not 6, no. But I did absolutely see a Villa win coming because Villa at home this season, very, very good. Not to say that Brighton are not, but we have been seeing them concede a bit of XGC. They've got a bit of a delta there between what they have conceded and what they're expected to concede. So I fancied Aston Villa for this. I really did. And that's why I bought cash in on my wild card. That's why I played Diaby this week. Should I have got Watkins? Yeah, maybe. But he only just broke his duck, didn't he, last week, which was the week after I played my wild card. But he's going to be bang on radar now for everybody because this hat trick is a statement of intent, isn't it? I mean, he was absolutely brilliant. And the players around him, you know, Villa in such a good moment, aren't they? With Jacob Ramsey coming back, getting in amongst the goals like immediately. Diaby is like a chaos maker.
Yeah.
Defenders are starting to get, you know, scared of this guy. There's a fear factor around him, which I love as a Diaby owner. You've got McGinn as a sort of driving force, the sort of like no nonsense grit in the middle. I think Douglas Luiz having a good season as well. Obviously, Watkins is playing. There's just loads of good stuff going on around Aston Villa right now.
Part of the reason I played my wild card this week was because I hated the fact that Diaby always ended up being the bench option in my eight-man attack.
Right, okay.
Because I've loved playing Diaby all season. And then when I moved for Alvarez last week, I was like, well, now I've got a problem because now I've got eight strong I want to play. And then obviously this week I wanted to do the Morris thing and play the double. And that still left Diaby in the eighth man spot. And I thought at the time, okay, well, I've got Saka flagged. I've got Botman flagged. I've got Saliba flagged. I've got Madison flagged. The chances are one of them misses out and I get Diaby off the bench. Yeah. So I was all right with it. As it happened, as you'll see later, I did not get Diaby off the bench, which is a bit irritating. And it was one of those things that I thought, actually, I just don't like having... I know that for you can, a lot of the time, you can have an eight strong forward line. I didn't like it. I like the fact that I can... There's somebody that's always on the bench and he's happy to be there and it's not Diaby, because it really hurt benching Diaby this week. I was really worried about it. I was really worried about not having Matt Cash.
I was surprised you did it, I'll be honest.
Yeah, but who else Diaby was benching. I going to bench?
Yeah, but Diaby owns to Brighton. Did you get a bit like, it's the 12:30 kickoff, therefore it'll be dull?
Maybe a little bit, but I think mostly it was like, right, well, I've got Saka. If he's fit against Bournemouth, I don't want to not have him.
Yeah.
Madison against Liverpool, if he's fit with the form, I don't want to not have him. Foden away at Wolves. I was like, well, can't really bench him. Who's the other one in my midfield?
I don't know.
I'd have to look. And then up top, I had Morris and Alvarez and Haaland. Couldn't really bench any of them. So I was kind of looking at my team. Oh, it was Bruno Fernandes. And I was like, I can't really bench Bruno Fernandes at home against Crystal Palace. So it left Diaby as the one man that I was kind of like, oh, I'm probably going to have to bench. I don't want to, but I'm probably going to have to bench him.
So what are you doing with Diaby and wildcard then? Because he did go off with a knock. We've got to keep an eye on that, right? I don't know if it was a knee or something, but he did go off with a bit of an injury. So if he is injured for a couple of weeks, do you sort of ride it out because he's a good asset, or do you just bin him and then bring him back in a few weeks?
Well, that's a really good question, because I think if he's out, then that will make a difference to the way that Villa play, massively.
Yeah, I'd say so, yeah.
So I think the good thing about it is, obviously, you are be able to watch them in midweek because they've got European football to come on Thursday evening. So be able to watch Villa and see what happens with Diaby, if he's available to play, if he doesn't play, who might be in that position instead. But they have, like you said, there's a good moment going on there. There are people returning from injury.
Definitely.
So if Diaby is out, then I'll just move for Watkins instead. And I'll shift the way that I invest in Aston Villa from the midfield to the forward line. And I'll go for a budget option in midfield rather than a budget third forward. Knowing that in doing that, when Diaby comes back, it's a really easy move to switch, because obviously Watkins is the more expensive of the two.
Yeah.
So that's the way I'm planning to manage that.
All right.
Little conundrum.
And what we say now about Brighton, so apart from the bottom three at the beginning of this game week, so the three promoted teams, they are the team that has conceded the most goals in the Premier League.
Yeah.
So defensively, not looking too great. Are they a team we should target, Brighton?
Well,
because it seems a bit...
It's difficult.
They had one or two players that, I mean, was it Hinshaw Wood, the kid in midfield, the young player that he brought in? Looked okay, but did look out of his depth a little bit against, like, you know, in a midfield where he's up against McGinn, Ramsey, Douglas Luiz. These are top players, and he looked a little bit out of his depth, I thought.
What's really interesting for me in that game is the way that Unai Emery and De Zerbi are managing the European action in midweek. Because we're seeing a lot more rotation from De Zerbi at Brighton ahead of the midweek fixtures.
Well, did you hear De Zerbi's post-match interview about the fact that he said... mentally the recovery is quite hard. They're finding it quite hard from the European football. Yeah. So we're all sitting here going, you know, it's energy in the legs and stuff. We've got to remember that a lot of these players, for them, it's mentally very, very hard.
Yep.
And that's why the top teams are the top teams and continue to be the top teams season after season, because they've got players in there that have got that sort of mentality to go Wednesday, Saturday, every single week. But a lot of Brighton players have got to learn that, right? And it's difficult.
And they're learning from a manager who's learning it. Whereas Unai Emery has experience in European football.
De Zerbi's got a bit of European experience.
Not in the same way that Emery has. And Unai Emery is an outstanding European manager. Like we've seen him do that time and time again, managing at all levels. And I think for me, Emery is getting it right with his team in maybe more so in the kind of the mental stuff, because we're seeing a lot of changes. We saw it last week ahead of the European one, or the last time ahead of European one. We benched Stupinian. He did bring him on, but that's beside the point. I think Brighton are difficult. They're in a difficult moment. The next couple of fixtures are hard. There is a fixture swing in 10 where the fixtures for Brighton become much, much nicer.
Yeah. Let's have a look at these then. So Liverpool and City up next to Brighton. So don't get any easier. Fulham, Everton, Sheffield United, Forest from 10. So, yeah, I mean, that is a four that you'd want to invest in Brighton for. What are you doing about Purvis then? Are you keeping him, knowing that you've got game week 10 on the horizon there, or you've been in him for a bit with Liverpool and City next?
Good question, because I think when I first started wildcarding last night, I thought, right, I've been him because I can just bring him back. But the problem is, I've got quite a lot of money invested in him.
Bit of value in him now, yeah.
So the bringing him back is the challenge, because with my wildcard at the moment, there are a lot of, because the price rises and falls this season have been immense. Like it's still very all over the place, the prices.
Course,
there's
yeah,
multiple
yeah,
price rises
days.
All the time. But I feel like normally by about game week 7-8, we start to see a little bit of a slowing down in the markets. People are less crazy.
Yeah.
This year, I don't know whether it's just Sai making multiple changes every week. It does feel like the changes haven't stabilised yet.
Do you think that the game is more engaging? Just take a step into the macro for a minute. FPL as a game, I think is so engaging right now. Not only you've got all the content creators that we mentioned before, you've got Sky Sports back in it now. Like, how many people are watching Sky Sports News at 10:30 till 11 when we're watching it, and they go, "Oh, bloody hell, yeah, okay." So, make their changes. I think that sort of drop off that you get of people just I can't be bothered with this anymore. I don't think it's going to be as steep a curve down this season. I think you're going to get FPL. You've got younger fans that like that sort of digital experience, that kind of like stats and analytics FC kind of side of the game. Genuinely, and this is a bit of far, far broader conversation. This is a podcast all in itself, but FPL is more engaging nowadays. And the sort of younger fan, I think, loves it. Plus all of the content around it and stuff. So that's why I think we're seeing the market still as hectic as we have seen them.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't see that slowing down. I think that's going to continue for a little while yet.
Well, no, and that's in part why I played my wild card this week, and I'll talk about this more later when we talk about it. But because the price rises and falls are so immense at the moment, that if you don't get on a player when they start rising, you can find yourself 0.4, 0.3, 0.5 out before you know it.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's problematic when you're looking to bring players in. Like, it wasn't so many weeks ago that Sonny was less than 9. Now he's like 9.3.
Yeah, it's crazy, right? Yeah.
So we're talking what? In a couple of weeks, he's gone up 0.5. Now that's a huge amount to be justifying and affording in your team. So I think for me, I'm looking at a Stupinian thinking, I've got value there. That will be the last decision I make on wildcard. So when you see my wildcard team later, and I'll explain it when I get there, anybody that's got real value in is still there. Because I think you have to leave them there until the last minute, and you have to be certain that you're happy to go without. And with a Stupinian, I'm happy to go without through 8 and 9, but I look at game week 10 and think, I'm not going to be happy to go 10, 11, 12, 13
without
you.
You'd like him for that 4, wouldn't you? Yeah.
So you have to be really conscious of not just the wild card that you create now, but if there's a player that's got value that tied up in them, there is a good chance that by the time you get to 10... you want him back.
Yeah.
You can't afford it then, because you've spent the rest of the budget across the rest of your team. So Purvis is a problem. I wouldn't sell if I was just using transfers right now. I'd just move him to the bench for Liverpool.
Hold him for a couple of weeks.
Yeah,
hold him for a couple of weeks. And listen, he can still score against us, no question. And maybe even Man City. Seventh overall for XG underachievers across the game week was Purvis Estupiñán. So despite the very, very unlucky own goal, which I don't think he can do much about that. He's just deflected it in off of his shin, isn't it? Off the top of his boot. But an XG of 0.49 without getting a goal, of course. So, yeah, listen, he's still doing the right things. He's still popping up in the right areas. He's still Purvis Estupiñán. He just happens to be in a team that collectively are defensively not that great at the minute. And for the next two, you can go without, I think. But so if you haven't got him for whatever reason, I don't think you need to bring him in. But in 10, I think he then looks a good option again.
Yes, I'd agree.
Would be
with
what
that.
I would say. Adam Collier, thank you for the super chat. He says, top five essential players currently. Well, listen, Adam, we're going to talk about Sam's wildcard a bit later on in the live stream. So let's wait for it then. There's for sure going to be some players that Sam's bringing in that she sees as essential or as close to essential as can be. But guys, get in the chat. Let us know who you think is essential right now. Who are the players that Sam should be bringing in on her wildcard? One of them, I'm pretty sure, is going to be Son Heung-min. Let's go there. Let's talk about Spurs and Liverpool from Saturday. Let's talk about Spurs. Let's talk about Liverpool. Then let's talk briefly about refereeing and what we saw, right? Because we can't do this stream without talking about that. Spurs, first of all, great result. Really, really good. I love Ange Postecoglou more and more every day. The way he came out, so does the cat, obviously, because he's back in. Every time I listen to this guy, I love him more and more. And I noticed at full time, despite me being obviously a bit disappointed with the result, the Spurs fans were going absolutely crazy. Of course, 96th minute winner, of course, going crazy. The players are all singing and dancing. Basuma's got his kids on the pitch. And I'm like, all right, calm down. And then you look at Ange Postecoglou, feet on the floor, like obviously happy, but like not going mental. And then in the post-match interview, yeah, you know, good result. Very, very professional. You can tell that he will have brought that team back down to earth. You know, good win, but we go again, we go again. And I love that. I love that about the manager, right? And he's getting performances out of Richarlison now. You know, another assist for Richarlison this weekend. He's playing Son through the middle. And now that's now 5 goals in his last 3 games for Son when he's played in that position. Hence, I think he's going to be, I'm guessing, but probably on your wild card. I think I've got to think about how I'm going to get him in because he looks pretty, pretty good right now. Good performances all over the pitch. So Spurs, first and foremost, good result. And they go marching on. And you've got a good manager and you need to look after him.
Yeah, I must admit, the first half an hour, we both sat here and we were like, this is a cracking game.
It was a great game.
It was...
First 30 minutes was really good.
It was really good.
High intensity.
Both sides attacking. Both sides playing the kind of football that we as fans of those two teams like to watch.
Yeah.
No fear from either side.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Which was great.
Yeah, yeah. A couple of good saves from your keeper as well. I was unsure about him, but he's looking really good.
And
isn't
I remember
he?
Sitting yeah, yeah. here in the yeah, game week yeah, one yeah. stream and somebody said, what is this keeper?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I was like,
I didn't know
no,
him, I'll be honest.
No,
yeah, yeah.
no, no, no. I won't.
He's decent.
He is absolutely
nice
class.
Nice double save first
really
half.
Really class. And I watched the way that Spurs dealt with the game and it was... We'll talk about it more later, but it was a weird game, to say the least.
You could say that, yeah.
But I watched the way that Spurs dealt with it, and it was fascinating to me because there wasn't any getting... Like, in previous years, Spurs would have got frustrated in that game. There'd have been frustrations.
Yeah, yeah.
We'd have been making... There'd have been fouls. We'd have been giving away stuff. There'd have been... But we just persevered. We kept going. And it was really difficult because Liverpool tactically got it absolutely spot on throughout all the whole of the game.
The bus was well and truly parked, wasn't it? At the
it
end?
Was well and truly yeah. parked. But what I think we saw from Spurs is, and I actually thought, and I said this in my Insta reaction last night, it was actually really difficult to learn much from an FPL perspective in that game because the game was so disrupted by stuff.
Yeah.
But I think what we did learn, what we reiterated in that game, is that Maddison is so important to Spurs. He is so important.
The pass for the first goal, and I know it's like, hate to say it, it's on Gomez's side, isn't it? So it's like the Red Sea pass. There's a massive gap there. And even I could have thread a pass through there. But he still had to execute it. And it was great. Richarlison, nice assist. But the pre-assist from Maddison was classic.
And for the offside goal as well. He put that amazing ball through to
The outside
Richie.
Of the foot one. That was sick, wasn't it? Yeah, really good.
And what I love is that he's been doing that all season. But his connection with Richarlison was there. Yesterday.
Yeah, yeah.
So that Richarlison was starting to read what Maddison was doing and be, I know he was offside for that one, but be in the right places for it. And that's really important.
Second for XG underachievers, Richarlison this weekend with 0.78. Bit unlucky maybe to
bit,
not have a goal.
Bit
but
unlucky, yeah.
Good assist, yeah.
And I thought, you know, so we learned a lot about, we reiterated our view on Maddison. What we did learn is that even when Postecoglou wants to play Richarlison, he plays Son still through the middle and he moved Richarlison to that wide position.
That was interesting, wasn't it? Yeah,
now, for me, that was absolutely critical in my FPL thinking.
Yeah.
Because up until yesterday, I've been concerned enough about Son's ability to hold the number nine spot. Because Son in the number nine, amazing for us in FPL. Son out wide, not great for us in FPL. So I was concerned enough about that potential that he goes out wide. And when I saw the team sheet, I was like, oh, well, surely he's playing Son out wide, Richarlison through the middle. Then they lined up and I was like, Richarlison's out wide.
Yeah.
But he wasn't as far out wide as Son does. So Richarlison sort of did the... He clung to the edge of the box rather than was right on the touchline, which meant that you did get more scope down that side from Udogi as well. He was much more attacking because he had the space to go.
Thought Porro played well as well.
But Porro on the other side, his relationship with Kulusevski has developed so well. The two of them give each other the space that they need.
Yeah.
So if Porro's out really wide, Kulusevski will come in a bit. And yeah, well,
Kulu
swap.
Comes naturally. That's something I noticed at the weekend. He ain't got a right foot, that lad, has he? He's always coming in on the left. And that actually, when we parked the bus at the end, was easy to defend against.
Yes.
But the one thing it does do during the game is Kulu always comes in left. The defender, if it goes with him, Porro then always on the overlap.
Yeah.
And that's how that side tends to work.
It's nice gonna, chemistry
it's
there.
Going to get easy to play against because that's a bit of a one-trick pony down that side.
But
so Kulu needs to learn how to play reverse balls and Porro maybe come inside a bit more. But
I think maybe that's what Maddison's around for, and he maybe floats out that side more in other games. But I thought it was really interesting from that perspective. So I think we learned that Son is inevitable, really.
Well, one of the reasons you are going to get him, I'm pretty sure, on your wildcard is look at that. Look at that. For the next six fixtures, here they are from a Spurs perspective. Luton away. Luton with their first win, but still... Spurs going to Kenilworth Road.
I wish I was going to Kenilworth Road next
very,
week.
Very, very difficult for Luton. Fulham at home, Palace away, Chelsea, which I see the Fantasy Football Scout team have put in blue. Sorry, Chelsea fans. Wolves and Aston Villa. I mean, the Villa game in 13 could be a cracker, but who knows what sort of form both sides will be in until then. But listen, even the next three, four, Luton, Fulham, Palace. If Son is playing at number nine, which we now expect, as you say... That is a run you are going to want him for.
But it's not just that, is it? It's the fact that we played yesterday evening and we don't play again till Saturday.
Yeah,
and then we play on Saturday,
thing, isn't it? Yeah.
So the smallest no distance,
European football.
The small we play on Saturday, then we don't play again till the following Monday. Yeah. Now the smallest distance we've got is between playing Monday night and Friday night. So we play Monday night against Fulham and Friday night against Palace. That's the smallest gap we've got, but that's still a good 4 days.
Yeah,
and that right now, when you're looking at players and teams that you want to invest in, we're talking about a Spurs side that are, oh my God, still unbeaten in the league. And no other distractions right now.
Yeah.
All focus on each of these Premier League matches.
Lots of reasons to go there.
Yeah, and a team that's in good form. And what I'm most happy about, and I know what you're saying about the end of the game, but genuinely... The team spirit that we're seeing right now is something that I don't remember watching a Spurs team have since Poch.
Yeah, you love to see it, right? It was kind of reminiscent of, do you remember when Klopp first came into Liverpool and we got a draw at the Hawthorns, 2-2? We played West Brom and it was 2-2. And it was like, why are you... And we over-celebrated. Do you remember? We went in front of the...
No, I don't remember this.
It's like Klopp's, I don't know, fifth or sixth game, something like that. And he came in and we all went in front of the travelling fans and we did the ole, ole. And I'm sitting, I'm thinking, we've just drawn to West Brom. This is not a great result. But at the time, I was a bit confused by that. But as time went on, you're like, that's what Klopp was trying to do. He's trying to instill this relationship with the fans. He was trying to instill this feeling amongst the squad that they're all part of a bigger goal. And that's what Ange is doing, right? So despite what I've just said, because as a Liverpool fan, I'm sitting there thinking, oh my God, Spurs, calm down. You won't want a trophy. You've just beaten nine men and you're all on the pitch singing and dancing. Madison's got the darts out. Bissouma's kids are on the pitch. I'm like, what the hell is going on? But that's because I'm a Liverpool fan and I was in a bad mood. As a Spurs fan, I'd be looking at that and going, I want to see that. I want to see it.
There was a video that somebody had taken and I think from in the hospitality boxes in the East, looking at the south, the players are dancing on the pitch, and the south stand where my mum was literally, it just was like a sea. It was like the sea, the movement in it. And I looked at that stand and I thought, 6 months ago, if we'd have got to 70 minutes and been drawing 1-1 with a 9-man Liverpool team, people would have started leaving.
Yeah, yeah.
The crowd would have got on the back. They'd have got frustrated. They'd have started to leave. And
but it's Big Andy's that connection.
But he has created something where we as fans feel that we are part of something and that we are helpful, that we are together in a movement and we're going forward.
Yeah, Paul Cook is agreeing with you. He says, agree, Sam, they are loving playing football again. Seem to overplay at the back a little bit for me. I could be right there, Paul.
But it's weird because I don't feel uncomfortable about that. I said that to you last night.
Yeah.
If Hugo was doing the things that Vicario was doing, I'd have been like, oh my God, stop it. But actually, I kind of like it.
So Spurs, for sure on radar, the fixtures look great, they've got the form. You got to invest, and we're going to see how you are investing a bit later on your wild card. Liverpool, then. Liverpool.
Can I just say before you speak?
Go on.
I thought Liverpool were great.
Yeah, yeah. So I got to the end of the game, and I felt something that I hadn't felt for a long time about my football club. I was really proud of them. Like,
where have you not been?
No. After a defeat.
Okay.
So whenever we lose, I'm well grumpy, as you will attest to, and Twitter will probably attest to, and so will the guys in the Slack for sure. Whenever we lose, it ruins my weekend. I'm well pissed off.
Yeah.
At the end of this game, I was not well pissed off.
No, you weren't. No, you were
I was a bit miffed because I thought the way we defended, and you're right, Klopp did get it tactically right. I thought we deserved a point, right? But listen, I felt for Matip because he actually defended really well throughout the whole game. It comes off his shin.
He's really unlucky.
60% of the time it goes out for a corner. 30% of the time it sort of just goes across the box. And like 1% of the time it goes in. But it happens, right? It happens. But I came away from that game thinking, this team, the performance was so resilient. We're away at Spurs, right? This is not Luton. This is probably one of the best teams in the league. And we're away and we are digging in and fighting for our lives, for the shirt and for each other. And I loved to see it.
Mm.
Now, don't get me wrong. We rode our luck. Alisson, first 10, 15 minutes that second half. One unbelievable save from Sonny.
He was great.
Man of the match. For me, I thought he was great. But he's man of the match most weeks because he's the best goalkeeper in the world. But the way that we approached that game and the togetherness and everything else, I was like, this team is proper. And I saw some characteristics or some traits in that team that I loved. I loved to see it. Despite everything going against us, and we're going to get to this, but everything going against us in that game, and I do love a moan about things going against us most weeks, because I sit here and say it most weeks, but it's one or two things. But in that game, everything did, right? There was corners not being given for us when there should have been. There was bookings that weren't bookings. It was everything. And still we nearly got a point, right? The fact that Spurs fans at the end were celebrating like they won the Champions League was testament to how relieved they were that you'd won the game, but also how resilient we were. And I love to see it. And from that perspective, despite us losing 2-1 here, I'm not put off by investing in Liverpool in FPL.
But the one thing I will say, I agree with every word you've just said. However, I didn't feel that I learned very much about how to invest in Liverpool in that game because it was so balmy. So I got to the end of it and was like, yeah, okay, Liverpool fixtures are great. I kind of wanted to watch that game. And I think had the game played out fully as it had in the first 30 minutes, I would have come away from it going, that's the Liverpool players I want to invest in. As it is, I kind of feel like I'm left with I'll get Salah, but I don't really know where else to go. Now,
well,
the Gakpo injuries is interesting because we'll see how bad that is and how long that term that is. He was in a brace, wasn't he? So let's see. And then obviously the Jota red card has an impact because that surely means we get Darwin starting for at least a couple.
Well, I think you've answered your own question there because I couldn't disagree more. I think it is now quite clear what's going to happen with us.
But do you go Salah and Darwin?
Well, maybe. Yeah, maybe. The one thing's for sure, I still think it is not...
It's not the defence though, is it?
The defence... Still, I don't think. And some of that is because they're expensive, but some of that is because there's some great value elsewhere. If you look at Botman and Udogie and... Oh, who else we got?
Even I don't like Botman anymore. He's upset me.
Well, no, he'll be back. He'll be fine. Well, and even like, you know, even the Anderson, the Palace defence looks pretty good, right? So there's lots of options at the back. You know, you're going to have Matty Cash. I'd be surprised if Matty Cash isn't in your wild card. I haven't seen it, but I'm pretty sure he's going to be there. West Ham defence, maybe, although you might have Areola. But anyway, the Liverpool defence, I still think no. But in that forward line, a lot of what we've been missing is in FPL is, well, we're not sure who's going to get the start outside of Mo Salah. I would say with a fair degree of certainty that Darwin is going to start now.
Yes.
And Luis Diaz is going to be left.
But what happens after international break? Because the international break's going to happen.
Yeah.
So we've got one more week. We get international break.
Yeah.
Klopp never plays the South Americans after the international break. Yeah. You've got the lunchtime kickoff again, I think.
We have the lunchtime kickoff after an international break. In a shock to no one, it's us. And it's just the little matter of the Merseyside derby.
Yeah.
I mean,
0-0 last time.
Here we go again. Liverpool.
But he never ever plays the South Americans. No, he might not
have to.
He might not have a lot of choice.
He's going to have to.
But I do worry. I don't know. So I feel like investing in Darwin and Salah financially on wildcard is a lot.
Just look at these fixtures, Sam. Brighton away, who have just conceded 6 to Villa. Now, we'll get a reaction from Brighton, I'm sure. And they won't be allowed to perform like that in front of their own fans at the Amex. So that is consideration. But they are conceding XGC. I will say it for the millionth time on this stream. Everton at home. All right, it's a 12:30, it's a lunchtime. But it is a Merseyside derby and it is Everton. Forest at home, Luton away, Brentford at home, and then it's a City game in 13.
But I think the point I'm making is that we're saying, and we said earlier, you've got to have Haaland and Alvarez. Fine. That takes up two of the three forward slots. So if you're going to have Darwin in the third forward slot, and we've just talked about Son, and mm-hmm. we think he's really important, so we're going to put Salah and Son in the middle, Madison, and you want to have probably a Saka in there as well. Suddenly, they don't fit. Unless you played your wild card 4 weeks ago and invested in all those players, you can't afford them. Because you've also got to try, because what happens if you want an Ollie Watkins? Well, you can't have Watkins and Haaland and Alvarez and Darwin.
Would you have Darwin or Watkins right now?
Well,
good one, isn't it?
It is a good one. I mean, the budget would make you have Darwin, probably, because he's cheaper than Ollie Watkins. Yeah. But if you've got... I would partly argue that if you've got Salah, then actually probably you want Watkins, because it gives you the opportunity to invest across... Unless you've got Diaby, and then again, the conversation comes up. I think right now, there are so many clubs. Spurs, Liverpool...
Yeah. Well, Webby's Aston saying you probably Villa, want Trippier as well, potentially.
But how?
Yeah, totally.
And we'll talk about my wildcard in a little bit. I'm telling you, the longer that... And this is why I hit it last night. Because I sat there and was like, I'm going to have a problem in 2 weeks' time.
Mm.
And then I thought, I'm going to have a bigger problem. Because my original plan was to wait for the Man City blank all the way up through till game week 17, 18, 19 and play it then.
Yeah.
And I looked at my squad and I thought, I can't get Son and Salah this week without taking a -8.
Yeah.
And then, if I don't do that, by next week... as in after international break, I can't afford them. Yeah. And before you know it, my team is shrinking.
All right. Well, listen, we'll talk about your wild card in just a minute. I want to finish up on Liverpool in these games. Wilco's saying I've missed your super chat. Wilco, I haven't missed your super chat. I'm coming to that at the appropriate time, mate. And that time is now.
Has he had a rant?
Wilco's super chat. I've got to scroll back a little bit. Here he goes. Thanks, Wilco, for the super chat. The PGMOL, embarrassing. Refs need to be sacked. And process is rewritten. Get them mic'd up like any other sports to explain their decisions. The review will do nothing. Now, listen, we are, and I am, in a bit of a quandary here because I can't say too much about what I thought of the refereeing in that game because, you know, we work with the Premier League and we work with Sky Sports. But let's just say... I wasn't best pleased with it. And the apology and stuff, it wasn't an apology, it was just an explanation, wasn't it? Comically bad. But this is not a net new conversation. We have it most weeks and it doesn't really affect us in FPL. As Klopp said in the after the game, right? You know, thanks for explaining it, PGMOL, but it doesn't get us any points. And I think I will take the same stance here, which is I can rant about it if you want, but we're not going to get any FPL points on the back of it. I've got Salah. Should have had an assist, didn't get it. So what? We move on, right? But comically bad from the referees.
Yeah, I don't think that... The game... The thing that upset me most, and obviously the points thing is what it is, the thing that upset me most was it was brilliant. It was 25, 26, 27, however many minutes it was, until the Curtis Jones ending off. It was a brilliant football match. And both sides were going at it. And I was like, "We are in, this is going to be a belting game." And the game fell apart with the Curtis Jones red card. Yeah.
There'll be some people that say it is, there's some people that say it isn't.
The red card is what it is. They're contentious issues, right?
Yeah, the Curtis Jones
one, you can see it from both. Personally, I thought it was harsh. I personally thought the yellow was fine. But that's fine. Yeah. It's a judgment call. And the refs looked at it again, and then they give it.
I think the challenge for, that Liverpool fans and commentators have suggested is that, I agree with you, I thought it was harsh, mainly because I don't think he means it.
He just slips over the ball.
It seems accidental, because he is going for the ball, his foot spins across the top of the ball, and then he makes connection with the ankle. Now, the impact on the ankle ain't great.
No.
I'll give you that, and Bissouma's a bit lucky with his ankle, for sure.
Thank goodness.
So when the VAR review it and he gets told to go over to the screen, I'm immediately said to you where he's going to go here, because the referees don't have the capacity, they don't have the experience to see what some of us see, which is, you know, it's a mistake by a player and he's going to spun over the ball. And when the referee went over to the screen, the VAR was already showing a still image, not the whole story, the still image of that impact moment. Now, if I showed anybody out of context that picture, they'd play, go, yeah, that's a red card tackle.
But they did play the video up. They showed the still, then they played the video 3 or 4 times to him. So he sees it again. But I think the reality is, as we know, if they get sent to the screen, they very, very, very rarely don't change their opinion. Now, that one, okay, it is what it is. I don't think there's too much there.
What I will say is that Malagusto got sent off last week.
It was consistent with him.
And it was the same. So Malagusto didn't, again, bad tackle. Same as Curtis, bad tackle. In my opinion, both yellows.
Upgraded.
But Gusto got upgraded to a red for the same reason, right? Because he kind of went over the ball. So I guess if you look at it from that perspective, you say, well, they are
They're being consistent.
But is consistently wrong a good thing or a bad thing? I don't know.
I mean, I guess the difference is that I think the conversation is, does it have to be accidental? If he breaks Bissouma's leg just because it's on accident, does it mean he shouldn't be sent off for it? Well, no.
Yes,
it's an accident, but it's still dangerous and it could have seriously injured the player. So I can see it.
You can see both sides.
The second one, Jota's just been an idiot. The first one's not a yellow card, but he could have been booked 2 minutes before that. He's had three incidents in 5 minutes. You're just idiotic, Jota. It's just silliness. You will get yellows for that. Fine. But Liverpool, credit to Klopp. I thought Klopp was outstanding the whole game. He could have lost his mind and got himself sent off. He didn't. He kept his cool. Not only did he keep his cool, he managed what was happening on the pitch incredibly well, because you should have got a draw out of that game. It was only that last minute unlucky moment with Matip.
My favourite bit was the 72nd minute, and you and I just laughed at it, didn't we? Which was basically, Klopp was like, right, everything's going against us, you know, F it, basically. He bought Salah,
Diaz,
and some other forward off. He bought off 3 attacking players, and he was just like, right, Trent, Konate, Endo, get on there and park the bus. So we were just like, right. And we played, I don't even know what the formation was, but
it
for sure we didn't have an attacker.
Three, wasn't it?
5-3-0, basically. Yeah, and it was like, right, we're shutting up shop and trying to get a point.
Yeah. And, you know, as for the goal, look, it's a goal. It's a goal. Yeah. Nobody in football sitting here and saying anything different. No Spurs fan will sit here and say anything different. It's just what it is. The fact that they said that they thought it had been given on pitch and it was only when they kicked back off again they realised they'd made a mistake and it hadn't been given, well, that's just madness. But that's
immediately bad.
It is. But that's just, they've got, something needs to be done about it. We just, as football fans, all we can do is trust that at some point they do something about this, because they have to. Well, and that's all we can say.
I can't see it. But what I will say is that, Postecoglou, again, post-match interview, what did he say? He said, look, we have to accept that there is going to be some human error in football. And I think he's right. And what I would say to that is, Well, we had human error in football. Well, they're called linesmen, right? So why would we introduce a technology if it doesn't collectively make our lives better? If anything, I go back to what I said all the way in day one when VAR first came out, which is it sucked the emotion out of football. We've sort of accepted that now. We've all gone on that. We've accepted that it's killed a little bit of spark of joy in football, right? That spark of joy that we all had before VAR.
See, I still just celebrate it and then let if it gets wiped out.
But you know what? The funny thing is the Diaz goal...
I did celebrate
because on close VAR calls, I don't celebrate.
But this wasn't close.
But I celebrate because I'm like, well, he's clearly on. I'm like, get in, Lewis, to change the momentum of the game. And then it got offside. I was like, no, I want to have a look at that again. And then they did show us it again. He did look onside. They then didn't draw the lines. The PGML then don't send the lines and the graphics to Sky to discuss at halftime. So Sky are like, sorry, guys, we can't analyse it because we haven't got the graphics. They sort of talk about it a little bit when they come back from the ad break.
But they didn't really know what to do.
But by the time the game's kicked off and they sort of really didn't know what to do, there was clearly something wrong. And the post-match analysis from Sky was brilliant. Gary Neville was brilliant with it again. But the whole thing, the whole Diaz thing, I agree with you on the Reds, right? The Curtis one could be, could not be. Jota, stupid. I mean, it's not a yellow card and he barely touched on the second one, but it's stupid to go to ground. In a game where the referee has clearly lost his head, you don't go to ground like that. There was other ones where it was coming off of your players for a corner and a goal kick was given. There was one where on the second Jota foul, Udogi's like, right, he needs a second yellow. I'm like, well, last I looked, that's a booking for Udogi for asking another player to be booked, but that was a clearly missed as well. So the referee just had a shocking game. But put all of that to one side, the Diaz one is a howler. It is just a howler. It's just so, so bad. And it's like, the refereeing just has to improve. It really does. It's absolutely awful.
But, yeah, I agree. But bigger than that, until I thought the rule was that until there'd been complete communication between the VAR room and the ref, the game shouldn't restart in any format. So if the ref is saying it's offside, it's a free kick, Vicario, you're going to take it.
Yeah.
Then surely he has to still wait for the VAR room to go clear.
Yeah. Well, they had the check complete.
But they said it was clear because they thought it was given offside and didn't realise until they took the goal kick rather than, or the free kick.
You notice when play, and this is the last thing we'll say on it, notice when play restarted, I think it played for 10 seconds and I think Spurs kicked it out for a throw. And the ref that goes to his ear, he's like, don't take the throw, goes to his ear. And I'm like, what is he checking? Is it a throw-in or not for VAR? I'm like, what is he checking? And then after about 8 seconds, he's like, right, come on, throw. I'm telling you, in that 8 seconds, the VAR is in his ear going, we have messed up here.
The VAR would have said,
we messed up here, we thought big time.
The VAR would have said, we thought you'd given the goal.
And they're having a conversation for that 8 seconds, and you see his face, watch it back on the replay if you've got it. The ref goes, on with the throw. His face is, they realise they've messed up and it's absolutely awful. But anyway, none of that matters because we've lost. We don't get any points for it. But I'll go back to it. Spurs really good. You're second in the league. You're flying. The manager's got all the feels around the club. It's great to be a Spurs fan at the minute. And the fixtures in FPL look great. Go and invest in Spurs in FPL would be my suggestion. And Liverpool, despite the defeat, go and invest in Liverpool because the fixtures look good and the team camaraderie and ethic is also looking really good as well. Sam, we spent so long on that game that we've got to rattle through some of these others. Everton are crap. Luton are not that great either, but they're good enough to beat Everton. That's all we're going to say. Man United are bad. Bad, bad, bad. Very quickly, Bruno, Rashford, Onana, what's going on?
This was another reason I hit the wild card.
Yeah.
Because last week I held Bruno... And it paid off.
Yeah.
And same with Onana.
But paid off because he scored a worldie, not because they had a good game.
Which is exactly what I said on the stream last week. I sat here last week and I said, it paid off keeping him because he scored a worldie of a goal. But I wasn't that impressed by him.
No.
And I wasn't impressed by Rashford. And I wasn't impressed
Rashford's
by Man United.
Which is all over the place.
And I'm not impressed all by over the place. And I'm not impressed by them again. And so it's another performance from Manchester United.
Can I say something controversial?
Well, it sounds like you're going to.
Because I haven't been that controversial this evening. If Rashford wasn't this English national treasure, if he was Spanish or Italian, the United fans would have, and most people would have turned against him already.
So I'd...
He's got a very body language all over the shop.
Yes, he does. But also, do you blame him?
Well, yeah. He's supposed to be the man, isn't he? There, he's one of their key players. He's world class player.
Totally agree. But if you're in a toxic environment, for multiple seasons, then I think at some point you start to feel a bit. Oh my god! Like after last season, Rashford carried them. Let's be honest. Rashford carried them and a lot of our FPL teams for a lot of last season. Going into this season, I think they think, right, we've got Hoyland coming in, we're signing these players, we've got some money, like there's going to be changing ownership. Where are we now? We've got so many injuries, we've not had a change of ownership, things have stagnated, you've got players getting arrested for all sorts of things or potentially being charged with all sorts of things.
So a sell in FPL then. Man United assets, sell in FPL. We're going to get to your wild card. I'd be amazed if you've got any. I'd be amazed if you've got any. West Ham, very good performance against Sheffield United. Bowen and Suchek with the goals. Antonio and Koufal with the assist. Nothing for James Ward-Prowse. As I said to you, or as I said at the beginning of the stream, seems to be ticking over the XA in terms of chances created, mostly from corners and set pieces. Not necessarily the big chances created. He will tick over points. I still think he's good value.
But that's the thing, it's the value, isn't it? He's not as expensive as the likes of Bowen.
And the West Ham fixtures... For the next two, and this is why I didn't do Mbeumo to James Ward-Prowse, was because I thought, yes, I want him for that Sheffield United game. Turned out to be, you know, the wrong thing, but still. Newcastle up next, then Villa. Villa away in particular is a very difficult game, as we've just seen, or Brighton have just found out. But then from 10, I might go back there. Everton, Brentford, Forest and Burnley. But when I go there, it might be for Bowen and not for Ward-Prowse. But I'm going to scout them over the next couple. But yes, you're right. Budget is going to be a factor. No doubt about it.
Bowen, if you can get Bowen, he will be a fantastic differential to have because he will be the sort of player that people are going to have to sacrifice to get Son, to get Salah, because you're going to need to downgrade somebody. Yeah. And they will look at Bowen... And go...
And avoid, right?
That's the player I'm going to have to take out. James Ward-Prowse might avoid it a little bit because he's that bit cheaper. But Bowen is going to be a hard, hard player to have. And if you can find a way to make that work, he will be a massive differential. Well, only because I'm in that game at the moment where I'm trying to work out how a team fits together. And it's hard. It's really hard right now.
Four-man fixtures and people will avoid him because he's at a difficult price point given everything else that we want on our wildcards. I love that. I love that. Yeah, Bowen... For the win, right? Yeah, look really, really good. James is in the chat. Had Bowen last two game weeks. Abhinav, Bowen is the standout West Ham mid. Yeah, and listen, we shouldn't be surprised by this, right? A couple of seasons ago, he was absolutely top dog there at West Ham. I noticed also he's fifth overall for BPS across the game week with 29. So, yeah, doing all the right things, Bowen.
I think what we can be surprised about from a West Ham perspective is the fact that they're still playing, that they're doing this well without Rice. Because I think we all thought that when Rice left... With European football as well, West Ham might just struggle. But we aren't seeing that.
Sure.
We're seeing some other players rise to the challenge, and that's so important. And, you know, defensively, they're looking solid. The change of goalkeeper...
He looks good, doesn't he?
Wow.
He looks good, doesn't he? Look, let's talk about Rice's new team, though. Arsenal 4, Bournemouth 0.
Not surprising.
At the Vitality.
But surprising team.
Yes. True enough. I think I certainly wasn't expecting Saka to play in this game, given some of the, you know, we must protect him sort of comments. Mm-hmm. And I noticed also kind of hobbled off. It's becoming a bit of a thing, isn't it? Saka kind of hobbling off, but they're almost kind of being, they're almost, Arteta's like, well, you are our best, and he is their best player, I think, honestly. You know, you've just got to get back on with it. We need you.
And also, with other players missing, it's hard, isn't it?
Yeah.
And, I think I was... absolutely shocked to see Saka and Saliba both in the starting 11. Look, don't get me wrong, delighted because I got some points out of both of them but I was surprised given that they've got obviously the Champions League to come in midweek and then that absolutely huge game this time next week against Manchester City, which I for one sitting second in the league with a game against Luton. Cannot wait.
You'll be looking forward
cannot to wait to see what these two sides do.
The one thing we are not any clearer on is who is Arsenal's penalty taker. Two penalties in this game, neither taken by Saka. The first one taken by Ødegaard. I guess we've seen that a little bit earlier on in the season. But for the second one to be taken by Havertz, and I understand why, because they wanted to get Havertz off,
get him off the mark.
I understand that.
And it was a game that they were up in. It's a non-risk, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I don't... listen, I'm sure the Arsenal fans will disagree with me, and he liked to see it. I mean, Arteta come out and said afterwards, didn't he? Declan Rice said after in his post-match interview, that's the sort of group we are. We look out for each other. I don't know if I liked it, and I don't know if I disliked it because I had Saka in my team. Yeah, I got Saka in my FPL team, but it's almost like a bit of a, what was that? I just saw the phrase in here a minute ago. My homie says Havertz getting a pity penalty. Was a bit like that. And did you see his celebration was a bit like, yay, you know, and everyone was like tapping him on the head and stuff. I was like, if I'm Havertz, I want to get off the mark properly. I don't want to be given a penalty in a game where we're thrashing Bournemouth. I wasn't sure about that whole situation. But it doesn't make me want Havertz anymore in FPL, put it that way. But I think for sure Saka is staying in my team. I've got no thoughts of taking him out. A goal and two assists for Ødegaard and top amongst midfielders for overall BPS in the whole game week with 56, miles clear of the next best, Almiron in 32. Ødegaard, 56 underlying BPS. So clearly and easily earned the 3 bonus points. And Arsenal still looking pretty good. Let's have a look at their fixtures. Of course, it's that City game that you mentioned before. Then it's away at Chelsea before it's Sheffield United, Newcastle, Burnley and Brentford. So mixed on paper.
With Champions League splatters.
With Champions League mixed in and around there. I think it's Lons for them.
It's Lons
after
this week.
Or this week. And then I think it is Sevilla.
Yeah.
After the Chelsea game. So lots of football for Arteta. And he's got some injuries. So yes, look out for that. But I've got Saka and he's going nowhere. So I just think he's absolute class. Sam, that's it. We haven't got any more time. We haven't got any more time to even talk about how bad Mbeumo was today. I haven't seen the highlights, so I might be doing him a disservice. Let's do a quick Manager of the Month update. If you like what you see here on FPL Family's YouTube channel, you can go to patreon.com/FPL Family, as many of you in the live chat have done over the last few years and weeks and days. Lots of new patrons as well recently. So welcome to anybody that signed up to what we do over on patreon.com/FPL Family. Bonus podcasts, Manager of the Month competitions where you can win shirts and all sorts of stuff. One-to-one Zooms with Sam and I. If you're thinking about popping the wild card and you'd like some expert advice from one of us, we'll get together, jump on a Zoom call, and we can talk through what it is that you're thinking of doing. And we do need to give a shout out to Flavia. Flavia, one of our newer patrons, 226 points so far in the Manager of the Month. This is the scores at the end of game week 6, of course, because game week 7 is still going on, so I haven't done all the totalling up yet. Tracy's been having a brilliant season, by the way.
She's
Tracy is smashing it and having a really good September as well. So 225 points. Tracy was leading pretty much all this month, and then Flavia has come in with a brilliant game week 6, just pipping Tracy with 226 points. So I'll be interested to see whether Flavia or Tracy or even Tony, who's only a couple behind Tracy there, can pip Flavia to the Manager of the Month for September at the end of game week 7. So I'll be letting you patrons know once the second Luton game is over against Burnley in midweek. So probably Wednesday morning. Who is it, Flavia, Tracy, Tony or somebody from the Chasing Pack that has won September's Manager of the Month? And if you fancy taking on Flavia, Tracy, Tony or anybody else from our patron supporter community in the Manager of Month communities, then patreon.com/FPL Family. All the links are in the description below.
It's a great time
that
to join, being
is
the first
where
of the
you
month
can
as well,
find
right?
it. And the first of the month is a great time to join. Great time to join. Sam, let's talk about, let's go to your team first. In fact, no, let's do my team because then we can do your team and wildcard. 53 for me, one to play, which is Kabore. 423 in total. Small green arrow, up 14%. Who were the stars of the show? Well, Dan Burn and Cash and Ariola at the back looking pretty good. Happy with that. Botman gets auto-subbed off for Mbeumo and not for Estupinan, thank the Lord. So I'm +2 there rather than -2. Saka doing the business. Diaby doing the business. Alvarez doing the business. Haaland captain foul, same as everybody else. But my team is in reasonable shape. And I rolled the transfer, given that I played the wild card the week before. So 2 free transfers going into game week 7. What am I thinking? I'm thinking I'd like to find a way to get to Son, but it's very, very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking that I would like to get to Darwin, and that is a bit easier with my 2 transfers. So One thing that I did look at that I have the exact money to do, oh, by the way.
That's never positive.
Is Archer to Darwin Núñez.
Right.
And to fund that upgrade, I would take Flecken down to Turner, which doesn't feel like too much of a downgrade. And I would take Mbomo down to Gordon.
Okay.
So how weird is that, bringing in a player who is suspended for next game week? But there it is.
This has got free suspension, though, by the time you need him.
So, yeah. So, Newcastle, yeah, for sure. One game, I think, for Gordon.
Yeah.
One game suspension. So, listen,
just a West Ham game.
I'd get him back for game week 9, which is when I'd want him. So, you know, no West Ham fixture for him, but looks good at his price bracket. It would give me triple Newcastle, but they look all right. You know, they look all right. And it would allow me to go for Darwin Núñez, who, again, I think is in that bracket of difficult to get to players, given what else we want. But it would mean going without Son Heung-min, which makes me pretty uncomfortable, because if he continues to play that 9, and I think that he will, with those fixtures, he is going to be very, very good. And I dare say, even a captaincy option, particularly next week when you've got Luton and Haaland's got Arsenal. So for sure, there will be some looking at Madison and, in particular, Heung-min Son, for captaincy next week. So there it is. A few of you in the chat saying Neto as well. I could go for Neto as my fifth midfielder. Yeah, lots to consider, guys. But at the moment, I'm super keen to get to Darwin Núñez. And maybe that is because I've got this whole kind of, you know, world against us Liverpool feeling, which comes out of the game on Saturday. But he's going to get game time over the next few. He will, because Jota, all right, he might only be one game suspended, but Cody did look as if that was a bad knee injury. And I think in the end, it might be that I need to wait for news on Cody to see whether I want to bring in Darwin. But by then, I might have a problem, because might not be able to do it, because I've got exact money to do it today. And I haven't even checked price rises to see.
There is a 3.9 goalkeeper, so worst case, you could go for a non-player.
Could go there, but I prefer to have a playing goalkeeper. But anyway, listen, a green arrow is a green arrow. It's fine. Even if Morris gets something else in the Burnley
Morris
game.
Morris is lowly owned.
It's a low ownership.
It's not going to affect you too much.
I don't think it would turn my arrow red. Would like Kabore to get a clean sheet. That would be really nice. But anyway, a reasonable week. A pretty good week. I'm not complaining at all. It's been fine. Your week, you've still got two to play. So Morris and Kabore still to play. But 42. So really, it's that Diaby benching, really, that's cost you more than anything. Because with that, you're up into the 50s, right?
Yeah, but also I've got the minus 2 for Estupiñán, because he's coming off the bench for Botman. That really stung, because I knew I didn't want to play Estupiñán. And I ummed and ahed for ages about Van de Ven and Estupiñán and which way round they sat on the bench.
Yeah.
And in the end, I thought, well, Estupiñán's got the most attacking threat of the two. I think you've made the right decision. I don't think either of them clean sheet, but Estupiñán could get an attacking return. So I'll first bench him, because if then one of my players doesn't make it, I'm happy for him to come on of those two. I knew that Diaby was the player I wanted to play, so he was always going to sit there. There was nothing I could do about it, because genuinely I looked at my team and was like, I can't bring myself to bench anyone else. And I really struggled on us. And I kind of made peace with it by going, it's the lunchtime kickoff. It's not going to be a 6-goal thriller. Oh, I was so wrong. And I got back from Sky and immediately started watching that game and was like, I have made a horrible mistake here. And
no one saw it coming.
And it's just what it is. So that's fine. It is a red arrow, but... If Kabore does anything, that's going to be helpful. If Morris does anything, that is going to be really helpful.
Definitely.
So,
and look good as well against... I know it's Everton, right? Yeah, rubbish, but, I mean, but, you know...
And they've got Burnley, so, you know, it's not... And they're at home, so it's not unthinkable that they could get something. So if those two could get something, that arrow will be definitely less red.
Yes.
But the watching... I thought... I didn't play my wildcard till quite late on Saturday. I wanted to watch the Liverpool-Spurs game first. Yeah. The things that were happening during the course of the day on Saturday, starting with the Watkins stuff, and then through lunchtime into the 3 o'clocks with Foden blanking, given the Man City fixtures coming up, with Bruno blanking, given everything at Manchester United.
I think I know the moment you mentally press the wildcard button. When Anderson scored that goal at Old Trafford and United lose 1-0, because that's what's let you down here.
Well,
Onana and Bruno Fernandes.
I haven't wanted Onana for weeks.
Yeah.
I've wanted to sell Onana pretty
much. Let's get into it. Here's the draft you've
put
together.
So let's be clear. I was not planning to show this, at this point. So when you look at this, it is not really a first draft in that at the moment, all I'm doing is trying to make sure that I've got the players that were rising in prices. And I'll do exactly the same again tonight.
Okay.
Because that's how I manage my wild card. So this team currently has 2.3 million in the bank.
Does it? Okay, nice.
Yeah. So the key priority...
Where's Saka?
Right.
Oof.
So the key priority for me going into this wild card was... Well, there were a couple of things. The first thing was making sure that Son and Salah came in because the price changes were about to happen with Son. And okay. I was very, very, absolutely 100% sure that Son and Salah were non-negotiables you as part them? Of a wild card.
All right.
So that was fine. Matt Cash, non-negotiable as part of a wild card.
That's good.
Wanted him. And Areola was a non-negotiable. So Areola coming in was actually helpful because obviously that's saving some money on... Onana. The rest of them then were difficult. Now, Saka's due a price fall, has been for days, to be fair.
Oh, that's why you've taken him out. Okay.
And I'd bought, so he was, to me, he was 8.6. He's 8.7 at the moment. He's due a fall. So okay. my thinking okay. was, I can sell Saka for Son because when he price drops, I'm buying him back for the same price. So I can use the budget to keep the rest of the players that I've got value added in. And that's why this is a difficult team to look at in some ways. Because like Estupiñán's still there. Because as I mentioned earlier on in this stream, I've got value tied up in him. And until I'm certain about what I want to do, I don't want to sell him. Same with Botman. Got some value in him, so didn't want to lose him. I would really like Van de Ven to be Udogie.
Porro?
Porro's much more expensive.
Is he? Right, okay.
So, yeah, okay. He's like 0.5 more. Because Porro's 5 and Van de Ven is 4.5.
Right, okay.
So, I would really like... I will freely sit here and admit, that game week when I went Van de Ven over Udogie, I think I let myself be Spurs. I let my Spurs...
He's a good-looking man. There's no problem. We it's sat here and we said that. It. Van de Ven, he's a good-looking man.
I mean, he's very handsome, but it's not about that. It's about the fact that I think I watched games somewhat differently when they're Spurs. And I kept... And every time I watch him go up for a set piece, I'm like, it's like watching Vertonghen. Like, there's going to be attacking returns for this guy. And I still believe that that's the case. But what I wasn't expecting is for Udogie to continue to... And Porro, to continue to be quite as attacking as they have been. So at some point, I would like to swap them over. Having said that, the budget might dictate that I can't swap them over. I may have to stick with Van de Ven and just accept the clean sheets. Because
Could you not swap him for Udogie now?
Well, I can. But the problem is that I want to... I'm going to have to bring Saka back into this before the end. Okay. So... And then I ideally would like to upgrade either the Gordon position or the Archer position. So ideally what I'd like is a midfield five that's Madison, Son, Salah, Saka, Diaby.
Expensive midfield, isn't it?
Yeah.
Expensive.
Now,
yeah,
the
go on.
Only way for that to be feasible is to sell a Estupiñán.
Right. Sorry, say again. Madison, Son, Salah...
Saka, Diaby.
Saka and Diaby.
So I can do it if I sell a Estupiñán for a 4-point-something.
He is a 4-point-something, isn't he?
He's 5.
Is he now?
He's 5.3 okay. now.
Is he?
Yeah, and I pay, he's worth 5.1 to me. But I'm not sure. I'm not sure how I'm I feel sure about who. That. And I'm not sure how I feel about that because come game week 10... I'm gonna want him, aren't I? He's really heavily owned, I'm gonna get to a nice run of fixtures for Brighton, and I'm gonna be there. I mean, I could go. All right, well, let's attempt to cover out the Brightonness by going for like
Van Heck,
Dunk,
or like a
or somebody like that. But I don't know how I feel about it.
I think you want a Estupiñán from 10.
I agree, which is why I'm not taking him out.
Yeah.
So I would then need to find a way to make the rest of this team work. Now there are non-negotiables in
the
there.
The guys are saying Gabriel 4-7. I know you've got rid of Saliba here.
I've got no value in him. So he was one of those players that there's no value in, so I've got nothing to win or lose on him. So I might as well take him out. His position is where Cash is. Because I looked at the others and was like, well, I can't take out Botman because I've got value in him. I can't take out Estupiñán. I could have actually gone Kabore to him instead of Saliba, but it made sense at the time. I just... absolutely, Gabriel is an option. He absolutely is an option. But I don't really want to get rid of a Stupinian. And I think that's where I am.
I think the chat is agreeing with you. A Stupinian is a risky out.
It's a huge risk.
Not for now, maybe, but for week 10, yes.
Because the reality is, I'm going to go game week 8, this is fine. Game week 9, this is fine. Game week 10, oh my God, why have I not got a Stupinian? And then I'm going to go, how the hell am I getting him in? Who am I selling? Yeah. Who is the sacrifice? Yeah. Because the reality is that I've gone uber budget at the back with the goalies because I've got two super cheaps, which I'm fine with, by the way, because I'm going to play Areola every week pretty much. Then I look at the defence and go, well, with the exception of a Stupinian, maybe Matt Cash at 4.8 because I've got to pay more for him now. There's not a lot I can take out there and still have, you know, the players that I want.
You might even want another Brighton midfielder back in, mightn't you? In 10, you might want a Mitoma.
I haven't had one of them yet.
Well, so the fixtures are that good.
So I am. It's difficult. It is difficult. So Gordon might end up being an uber cheap. Like I might, but then what am I doing? Because am I playing 4-2?
Yeah.
I don't really want to do that.
Well, so this is the sacrifice. These are the sacrifices you've got to make. You've got your three premiums there, which is definitely what a lot of people are going to want to go to. Son, Salah and Haaland, right? That's for sure the three, I would say, the three key assets in the game right now. And you've got Saka in there as well. Not on this screen, but you're planning to have him. So everything else has to be cheap. It just has to be. You've got no choice.
Yeah.
Because you're top heavy.
Correct. So, and the frustration here is that had I done this last week, which I did think about, but had I done it last week, Matt Cash wasn't so expensive and I could have done it.
Yeah.
But where we are now, and this is why I've done it now, because I looked at it and went, if I wait for international break, there is no chance that I can afford Son.
All these key assets going up in price.
Salah, everyone, because everyone's rising. So I need to get them in now before they rise too much. And so basically what I'm going to do this week is spend the week planning and playing the markets, bringing in the players that are rising who I might want. If there's any chance I might want them, they're coming in.
All right.
And then what I'll do on Friday is I'll sit down and go, okay, are there any compromises that I'm happy to make here? As in, I have to really consider whether could Son be Richarlison? Could Salah not be Salah?
Could Son be Richarlison? You're not going to make that. Not going to do that, are you? But Sonny.
But I think you have to sit and have that conversation. I think the reality is that you have
Could Salah be a Diaz?
Could Salah be Diaz and Darwin instead?
Ooh.
Could I, rather than having Salah, could I make Salah Diaz? Could I double him up with Darwin and try and...
Do you know what's frightening right now? I think I would go for that. I think I would prioritise Son over Salah. I just think your fixtures are just so good.
Mm.
They're so good. And the thing with that is if you did downgrade Salah to Diaz, I mean, Diaz should have had a... Well, he did score a goal this week, didn't he? And has looked pretty ex-lively. If you could do Nunes as well, that's not me saying Salah's a bad pick. He's not. He's a great pick. But he's providing a lot for these players now as well.
So the only thing, because I have done that once, the only thing that I hate about that is then I've got a midfield five of Madison, Son, Diaz, Saka and Diaby, and a front three of Haaland, Alvarez and Darwin.
Who are you benching?
Who on earth is benched every week? Yeah. Because I'm telling you, I'm
Diaby
back to benching Diaby again.
Yep.
And
you're not doing that with these fixtures.
And what... Yeah. It's so difficult when you, like, it's almost like I need 0.4.
Yeah.
If I had 0.4 more, I can create this team that I love. but without the 0.4, I'm having to kind of ship around. But the shipping around means that I create a front eight, which causes me so many issues. Now, all right, what I could then do is go, right, I'm not going to cause my issues. I'm not going to get Darwin. But then am I happy to just have Diaz to cover Salah? I don't feel as comfortable with that.
Yeah, but so the chat saying, like, I agree with you. If you went, and I'm not trying to talk you out of Mo Salah, because why would I do that? But Salah to Diaz, you know, that unlocks Trippier for you as well, potentially.
Yeah, but, and it's like, but then I need a bench boost every week.
All of a sudden you've got a score.
And I'm back, if you will remember, I'm back to that season. What season was it where every week my bench had like 20 points on it? And I'm back there again every week. And I think I'm okay with that.
No question in your mind that Haaland is staying.
I just don't think you... At 90...
Oh, that wasn't a yes, was it?
No. But I just don't think at 90... He's nearly 92% owned. How can you sell a player that's...
You just can't 90...
I've got to look it up. That's owned by 91.9% of the game. Yeah. I can't go on Wildcard and take out Haaland.
Imagine.
Imagine what people would say.
Well, listen, that is...
I'd get sacked from everything. Never mind winning an award for everything. I'd be sacked for everything.
Vote for Sam and all the things because she took Haaland out and he scored a hat-trick. Lots of tinkering to go between now and next game week, I'm sure. But...
I will actually do the promised midweek podcast this week.
Right.
Which is when I was planning to sort
on FPL Family or for somebody else?
On FPL Family.
Okay, nice.
This is the conversation we had yesterday. I said, don't tell everyone. And don't announce it on the stream tomorrow. I will create...
So when I sent you a thumbnail earlier, I said, I've created this thumbnail. It says, Sam's wildcard active.
Did you not know?
Why didn't you send it back to me and just say... I'm not announcing my wild card. Can you change it to something else?
Because when you sent it to me, I was in the shower and I didn't see it until I came out of the shower and the guys in the Slack went, Sam, have you wild carded? And I was like, and you'll notice if you go and have a look. I said to Danny, how do you know that? And Danny went, Lee's put it on YouTube. And I was like, great. I wasn't supposed to be telling everyone that. I'm glad he really listens. But here we are.
Sorry about that. Never mind.
Notice that you didn't even tell anyone that you were wild carding. Till you and dropped it on Ohana.
Well,
I'm not allowed to have any special fun things, apparently. You ruined it.
Okay, sure. What's coming up this week, Sam, other than you doing all the things that everyone should be voting you for?
And I'll get us getting divorced. I'm on off the bench this week, but not with my normal partner.
You're not with Sinaldo?
No, Sinaldo, sadly, is MIA this week. Can't make it because of work commitments. So I've got a set stand-in.
Okay, who are you on with? Are we allowed to reveal this or is this another secret?
Well, you might be unhappy about it, but I've got my lover on.
Is it Az?
It's Az.
Oh, no.
So it's me and Az this week, talking all things game week 7. Now, of course, we'll be coming to you before Luton play Burnley so that it doesn't interact too much with the official podcast on Thursday. We didn't want too close together. So Az and I will be back on together on off the bench on Tuesday this week. You'll be able to catch me and Jules and Kel on the official pod on Thursday this week after Morris and Kabore have got a hat-trick each.
Yes, let's go Kabore.
In the final game of game week 7. And then we are back on Sky again.
Are we?
On Saturday morning.
Nice. Were you allowed to say that? I don't know. Is that a secret?
I'm allowed to say anything. Okay, it's just you that needs to pay attention to what's, you know.
Nice. All right, well, listen, loads of stuff
going on.
You
doing anything else this week?
No, I'll be doing the square root of nothing except for talking to people about your wild card. That's all I'll be talking about. Just announcing that you're wildcarding to everybody. thank you guys for joining us tonight on FPL Family. That was a bumper episode, wasn't it? 1 hour 36.
It's really hot and I'm wearing a jumper.
It is quite warm in here. I can't believe that you haven't melted. But Sam, we have had, and we haven't had this for a very long time. We've had over 800 and, well, what we got at the moment? 889. We did peak at over 950 people. So guys, thank
you very
much
for joining.
They're just here
to see if we've killed each other after that game yesterday.
Thank you very much for joining us.
We haven't.
Much appreciated. If you've liked the stream, then leave us a like, an actual like on YouTube. That'd be great if you could hit that little button. And if you are new to FPL Family, make sure you don't leave without hitting that subscribe button. Right, that's it, Sam, for this week. I'm off to tell absolutely everybody that you're doing your wild card.
You've done it now. Everyone knows. Presumably posted it on Twitter as well, did you?
Of course I have.
Yeah, see, there you go.
Of course I have. Cheers, guys. Thanks for joining us and we'll see you next week.
Bye, guys.